Hello. Is that
Hello.
Barbara we have on?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. So I'm Melissa Sussman, and this is Barbara Mizrahi on How I Got Here. And today we'll be discussing perfectionism and how to overcome thinking that our perfectionism will make other people as perfect as we are. So, Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so Barbara, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I was born and raised in New York in Long Island, and I'm 34 years old. I'm turning 34 actually on Friday. It's my
Oh,
birthday. No,
wow.
Saturday. Coming up.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. So about myself, I'm a special ed teacher.
Okay.
A wife, a mom to two amazing children. I have a 7-year-old girl and a 9-year-old
Wow.
boy.
Wow.
And thank God, I'm really blessed and really, really happy. I live where I grew up, and I'm doing good. Life is good. Thank God.
Okay. And you mentioned that you wanted to discuss a little bit more about your childhood, and the way you grew up. So I would love to hear a little bit more about that.
Sure. I wanted to talk about my childhood because I think with most people that your childhood really does shape your who really shapes who you are and really shapes your habits and really shapes your mindset and inevitably will lead you to make future decisions, how you make future decisions, which path you take. So I really believe that your childhood leads you to all of that. So that's kind of why I wanted to talk about that today.
Okay, great. And just as a side note, I just want to let our audience know that Barbara's not just a mother and a wife and an incredible special education teacher, but Barbara also has she has a business called Our Natural Kitchen. She has an Instagram channel where she shares recipes, and she also has a recipe book. And she's really come a very long way from where she started. So I just also want to congratulate you on that,
Thank you.
and you're welcome. And so tell us a little bit about your childhood and what you were saying before. You can go on
Sure.
with all that.
So I grew up in Long Island, and my parents definitely put me in all the different sports and things like that. I did competitive gymnastics, I played volleyball. I did bowling. I did tennis.
Wow.
I was really, really active as a child. And, growing up, health and fitness and everything was really important to my dad. And my
Right.
dad is definitely today one of my best friends, and I love him so much. And he's always been there for me. But there was a point in my life, and I'm able to talk about it now because, he's been sober for the last 9 years. But up
Wow.
until that point, my dad was in and out of rehab, and that was a huge, huge part of my childhood.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. Yeah, it was a very, very difficult part of my childhood, but I think it was so difficult because of the love that I have for him and how much I looked up to him. He was a police officer. He's a retired police officer now, and he had a hard job. He worked in Rikers Island. I mean,
Wow.
he did not have it easy. And
Wow. That's one of the biggest, baddest what's it called?
jails.
Jails in the country, right? Correct?
Yes, it is. It is. It's a correction facility. And
Wow.
he didn't deal with his pain and his emotions in a positive way. And he numbed everything. And watching that, just, it hurt me so much because of the, you know, of the times that he was sober, when he was this amazing dad, when he was there for me, and he was into health and fitness and everything. And I just didn't understand it. So,
And he was a, and it sounds like he was also your mentor and somebody that you looked up to.
Yes.
And you wanted to be like.
He was, and he is, thank God, you know. He really, really was a mentor to me. And the thing that was so hard about it was because when he was sober, it was like I was holding on to something. And every day it felt like I was, my grip was, you know, getting either stronger or weaker. And for me, I thought I was the reason. I thought that I could save him. I thought that I could keep his sobriety. So, you know, that was the hard part about it.
Right. You thought you could be in control, essentially.
Yes. And I was always losing control. You know, every couple months when he would start taking pills, or he would end up in a rehab or whatever it was, I felt like, oh, I didn't do good enough. I didn't keep him sober. Like, I could have kept him sober. And I think that that's like the thought pattern that goes through a lot of teenagers and kids' minds when they have a parent who has an addiction. Like, I wasn't good enough.
Right. Or anybody in the family who might have an addiction.
Right.
Why can't I save them?
Exactly.
And what did you do to compensate that feeling? Like, how did that feeling manifest itself in other areas of your life?
So, I think every year it would change. The manifestation would change. I would just try to control things. I would try to control my grades. I would try to control, some years I would try to be on like a perfect diet, or, you know, I have to look good. And maybe if I would do better in gymnastics, or maybe if I had better grades, or maybe if I could keep my parents from fighting, or maybe if I spent more time with him. You know, it was always something. And I always thought, oh, finally, I got it. I figured it out. He's been sober for, you know, whatever it's been, a few months. And I'm doing this, and it's working. But eventually, I just realized, you know, everything failed. Everything that I would try to do to keep him sober failed. And that's when I came to the point to realize I don't have control.
Right. How did you feel when you came to that realization that I'm not in control?
It's funny. I only came to that realization 9 years ago. So it took me until I was 22, 23 to come to that realization. But I came to it when I had my own child, when I had my boy. And I became a parent. And something just clicked. And I said to myself, I'm not going to do this all over again. And I'm not going to let his sobriety rule my emotions and rule my life, because, you know, I can't control it.
Right. Wow. How did it feel? Did you feel liberated? Like, was this like eye-opening? Was this like an epiphany, like the first time you experienced this epiphany? What did that feel like?
It was a religious experience.
Really?
I think it was. Yeah. I really connected to God at that point. And I said to God, you know, you made me a parent, God. Please teach me how to be a parent, and please teach my parent how to be a parent to me. And that was always my prayer. And I believe in like 90-day manifestations or 90-day prayers. And I set my intentions. I said to God, I said, you know, please, God, make me becoming a parent change my dad. Make him realize that he can start all over again, and he could help me parent my son. You know, I always believe that, you know, grandparents play a huge role in my kids' life and my kids' life. And I really wanted to give him that role. I wanted to give him that second chance with my kids because I thought, you know, I really believed he deserved it. And, you know, God listened. And it was the first time really that I turned to God for all of this, because I always felt like from, you know, from my childhood and my teenage years and my, even up until I was 22, I believed I was in control of it. I believed that I can fix him. And when I gave it over to God, God finally, you know, it was as if God was like, finally, you're getting it. You know, I'm in control. And it just changed. It changed everything.
Wow. So you're saying as soon as you succumb yourself to a higher power, a higher force, a higher God, whatever it is somebody may believe in, that and let go, that's when your dream and your this new reality finally manifested itself in your life.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Wow, that's unbelievable. And what would you say to our audience members who might also feel like they're suffering from not being this perfect person for somebody else in order to change them?
I think the most important thing is to be so honest with yourself and find something that you're passionate about. Find something that you really love and serve yourself before you serve anybody else.
Oh, that's beautiful. And let me ask you a question. Let's say today, like, God forbid, he would have a relapse. What would that do to your self-esteem? What would that do to your foundation? You think it would rock you the same way it rocked you many years ago? I know that's a very, like, it's very hypothetical, but I want to understand the inner workings of how you think.
It's funny. You just even saying that, the first thought I thought to myself was I would go to God.
Wow.
And I would cry and I would be sad for him, but it wouldn't change anything about how I'm a parent. And I wouldn't let it rock my life, because I let it rock it for so long.
Right.
And I would be in control of my life, and I would do everything I possibly could to, you know, just move forward. And I would, you know, like my husband always says, and I didn't give him credit in this, and I really should give him credit, and I want to give him credit. He always told me throughout all of this, because as we were getting married and just first getting to know each other, you know, meeting the family and all of that, mm-hmm. like my dad wasn't sober, and it was very obvious to him.
Right.
And it was very obvious to the people around us, like something's not right. And he just kept telling me the same word, forward. Mm. And that has definitely been my mantra. Like, no matter what, the sun is going to rise tomorrow. You're going to move forward. And if you just keep moving forward and you just keep praying and just keep doing the right thing and just keep telling God you're in control and expressing what, you know, what you want and what you need, God will provide. And whatever he provides you with is what is meant to be. As long as you're moving forward, you're doing the right thing.
And also I would just like to add, and also taking care of yourself first and foremost, self-care.
Absolutely.
In order to bring the good vibes or the positivity closer to you, so you're not as focused on the negative things that are happening to you.
Absolutely. And the second that I became more observant and religious, my father did also 9 years ago.
Wow.
He delved very deeply into his religion, our religion, and I think a big part of him letting go and becoming sober was, instead of numbing himself, he just turned to God. And I think that is, for him, that was an answer.
Wow.
And, you know, that makes me feel so good.
Wow, that's amazing. So Barbara, what are your thoughts on how you got here? How did you get to this place? Like, I mean, I know it sounds so silly and it sounds so funny, but how, like, I know, and you've been telling me the story of, like,
yeah,
this transition, and you had your epiphany, and you came to this realization that you had to, like, pray and let go. And when you became a parent, that's when you realized, like, this, I need to move just forward and with the help of your husband's. But how ultimately do you think it all came together? Like, what was the driving force for you to finally just say, I need to let go and I need to let God in your life?
I think it was that the fact that I wanted to have my own family, and I so badly wanted my kids to feel the way that I really wanted to feel. I wanted my kids to come home to a mom who was emotionally stable. I wasn't emotionally stable growing up. My mom was not emotionally stable. My father clearly wasn't emotionally stable. Even my grandparents weren't emotionally stable, because they were constantly trying to help support us, because everything was always just so up in the air.
Right.
So my driving force was to have stability and consistency and a future that, you know, my kids could feel good about, and they could grow up in a house where things were consistent.
Wow.
And that was the driving force. That was when I had my son, I just said to myself, like, I need to move forward for him.
Right.
And I need to move forward for a family that's going to be consistent, reliable, loving. There was so much love growing up in my house. So much love. For whatever my dad wasn't able to give to us, my mom gave to us 100 times.
Wow.
100 million times. She, you know, she worked in a camp, in a sleepaway camp, for 18 years so we could go there. She worked in my school. She made sure that, you know, I did gymnastics practice 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. Like, anything we wanted, she made happen.
Well,
so
unbelievable.
There was that love. It just wasn't the stability that I needed. And I want to be able to give that. I wanted to be able to give that to my kids. And I'm so grateful every day that I get up, I have a job, I'm stable. My husband's stable. I don't rely on any drugs. I don't rely on anything.
Wow.
I rely on God. That's it. You know, that was it.
That's really unbelievable. And would you say your personality is like, or your natural inclination is to be a stable person? Like, I'm, you know, some people, they like change jobs, they get bored, they get upset. Like, would you say that your personality is the type that is stable? I know that sounds weird, because you could say, like, oh, what are you saying? I'm mentally unstable. No, but I mean, are you like the type that, like, needs adventure? Like, or was that your personality to even take on such a stable type lifestyle like that?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Wow. So how did you like do that? That's very hard.
Yeah. You know what? I believe that your husband or your wife or your partner really is your other half.
Right.
And something within me changed when I met Jake. And Jake, if you knew Jake, for anyone who's listening, he is one of the most consistent, thank God, stable people I have ever met in my life.
Wow.
Sometimes it's a little too calculating, his thoughts, but
right.
At the same time, that's what I needed. I was so airy, you know, like, if a wind blew and it told me to go and live in another country, I would, which is a true story, by the way.
Oh, wow. I'd love to hear this one.
I did. Yeah. I did live in another country at one point, just so, you know.
What, on a whim?
Yeah. On a big whim, for 2 years of my life. I was always the type to, you know, be swayed by anybody and anything, and do this and do that and believe in this. If someone told me, you know, I don't even know, whatever it is, I just would go with it.
Right.
But today I'm different. I'm definitely a different person, because the bigger picture is always, always in the back of my mind.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Wow. And so you manifested the reality that you wished you would have had. I keep on saying this word manifested, but it's true.
I did.
You created this reality that you envisioned, that you wanted as a young girl, so that you could create that for your own children. and make that stable, like the stable family unit for yourselves, for your family. And that's unbelievable. And it's amazing that you were also able to let, no, but it was, it's amazing. You were also able to let go.
Yeah.
Eventually with the situation with your father and take on God in your life and say, you know what? That's it. Like, this isn't in my control. This isn't in my hands. There's nothing I could possibly do to change my father. But the only thing I can do is change myself in order to change the reality that surrounds me. And that is just so inspiring and unbelievable. And
thank you.
It's really, truly incredible.
You know, the best part of it all is watching my dad help me raise my kids with my husband and my mom. You know, they live down the block from us. They live two blocks away. And the best part is having him in my life. And, you know, I sometimes look at him and I'll just start crying. And I'm crying because I'm so happy that he has a second chance. And he knows. He knows.
Wow. And so this is how I got here. And with Barbara Mizrahi, thank you so much for sharing your story. I know it's not easy to come on to a podcast and expose yourself and be vulnerable, but if it could help even just one person, it's truly incredible that, you know, somebody out there might be going through something so similar, and you never know who you're going to touch and who you're going to inspire. So Barbara, I just want to thank you so much for coming on today and speaking with me and our audience. And everybody, if you can, you can also follow Barbara. She does have an Instagram, Our Natural Kitchen, where she shares recipes. She's also very into health and wellness and mental wellness as well. So feel free to follow her. And thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything else you'd like to say before you go?
I hope that this does help somebody. I really do. Even if it's just one person.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it will affect somebody in a positive way. So thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
You too, Barbara. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.